They say plants like music.
Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, coffee has returned to the Disneyland Hotel. Genie Plus is going away, sort of. Oogie Boogie Bash went smooth.
Din Tai Fung is officially open. The west side of Disneyland is about to close. And Vern and James talk about their Pride Night experience and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Ah, buenos dias, senorita. My siestas are getting shorter and shorter. Oh, look at all the people listening. Welcome to DL Weekly's Enchanted Podcast. Hey, Tag and Teresa, mi amigos. Pay attention, it's show time.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of July 3rd, 2024. I'm Tag Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We would like to thank everyone who supports the show, but this week we would like to give a special shout out to Ryan B. for upgrading your support, and also to Matt L., Donna S., and Thomas T. for your continued support. If you would like to help support the show and get ad-free versions of each episode plus some extra special bonuses, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to become an official weekly tier.
Now let's get to the news.
Read all about it. DL Weekly reports from intrepid correspondents Tag and Teresa. You heard it here first, ladies and gents. Breaking news!
A popular spot at the Disneyland Hotel has reopened. The coffee house at the Disneyland Hotel was closed for refurbishment for a couple months and has returned with a new menu featuring specialty coffees and food items. There's even a $36 artisanal cheese and charcuterie board. The location is open from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m.
I just have to tell you before I get into the coffee, I laughed so hard because I thought Tag would get this cheese board because of your whole cheese stuff from the cruise.
I would get this charcuterie
like,
board.
Tag would 100% go get this cheese board as a like before bedtime snack because apparently that was the go-to on the cruise. But anyways, the coffee house at the Disneyland Hotel. This is such a cute little establishment. I do wish they would have maybe done a little bit more than just a refresh on it, because the last couple of times that I have gone to go get a caffeinated beverage from the coffee shop, it's wildly popular and it's very small. So the line is out the door. And it's just not really set up for like the volume that it's now commanding for people. So I wish they could have maybe done a little bit of an expansion on it. The other thing that was a little confusing last time that I was there, the door to get into the coffee shop is right next to the door to getting into Goofy's kitchen. Mm. So it's a little confusing what your line, like what lines for what. So, but nonetheless, I'm glad this place did get a refresh. I do like they also seem to have expanded their menu. There's a ton of grab and go items, as well as of course the classic coffees and some hot dishes or some hot snack meal type things as well. But there's, I mean, I don't know how they didn't expand this with how much they expanded the menu.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in here. I'm just scrolling through and looking at some of this stuff. I felt like when we were there, there was just some normal things like you'd find like at a Starbucks almost. It was like you could get like a bagel or
They had the bagels before, but they've now got
croissants,
like bagel pizzas. There's breakfast sandwiches. Ooh, a sourdough grilled cheese sandwich.
This did make me want to, because one of the things that the Disney food blog posted was that the bagel, the cheese bagel was something it looks like that you could make at home, but they're charging $8 for it. And I was like, I kind of want to make some at home now.
So this is not related at all, but I'm going to tell you anyways. Vern and I went on a recent pizza bagel kick. And
oh, really?
We're making like full size pizza bagels.
Oh,
at home.
Were they good?
Yes, delicious. But I mean, it's one of those things that it's fun and it's different, and you're not going to easily make yourself a pizza bagel while you're staying at the Disneyland Hotel.
Sure.
So I get it. And it's something a little more than just like a croissant. They have these pizza bagels over at the Pixar Place Hotel as well. Mm. So I'm sure that's why they showed up here too.
I feel like, specifically with the pizza bagels, I feel like I will never think that a pizza bagel is as good as the pizza bagel I had at my elementary school.
Sure. Yep.
Because I'm pretty sure that it was, the entire thing was dunked in the fryer. It felt like it was that greasy. But man, was that good. In fact, I remember going into middle school and craving those, and but being in middle school.
Yeah, so you're too old.
Anyway.
So there's some bigger, they're calling them bigger snacks. I would call these like lunch items or meals, but there's an Italian ciabatta sandwich, which has salami, mortadella, oh, why did I choose this? Arugula, provolone, bresaola, I'm sorry, I probably did that wrong, and an olive tamponade on a roll. Yum. There's also a roasted turkey sandwich. Ooh, and a caprese and prosciutto sandwich. Let me tell you the photos that they shared of these. These look like some fancy sandwiches. But they look delicious.
It's hard to tell the sizing on them.
It is. Well, and like, is it in this photo, is this like two halves that they're sharing?
Sure.
You know, like, is that one sandwich that they have cut in two halves and wrapped separately? Or is that,
is it
really just a half a sandwich? So
that cake also looks very good.
There is, yep, there's also desserts. There's a chocolate cake, I want to say. I think I saw a carrot cake on the menu.
Ooh.
Too. So there's lots of goodies, as well as all the delicious caffeinated beverages to help get your morning or your day started. So yeah, very fun. Well, Genie Plus is going away. Well, sort of. The Genie Plus service is being renamed to Lightning Lane MultiPass, with individual Lightning Lane now being called Lightning Lane Single Pass. So basically, they're trying to simplify this to make it a little bit more easy for people to understand what it is they're getting. Because really, if you think about it, buying Genie Plus didn't really explain what it was that you bought. So at Disneyland, all that's changing, of course, on July 24th. And in Walt Disney World, you can actually make Lightning Lane plans before you are in the parks. You can choose experiences and times prior to purchase and book your Lightning Lanes for multiple days at once. Again, that's coming to Walt Disney World only. Here at Disneyland, we're just getting a name change.
The only thing I wish that we would have at Disneyland that Disney World has with this change is the, you get to choose the experiences and times before you purchase it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd like to be able to go in and select things and be like, okay, I think this does what I want it to do. I think it's worth the price. Buy. Where now it's like you buy it and then you have to, I don't know.
Kind of hope.
Yeah. So
I will say it was called, they had something similar to this back when we had Fast Passes, which of course Fast Passes were free. This is no longer a free service, but I really liked FastPass Plus when trying to figure out Walt Disney World things, because FastPass Plus, back in the day, allowed you to pick three things. One of those things could be a show, and then the other two things could be rides, or you could do three rides, but you could only pick one show. I do remember that. So I would always go in, depending on what park we were at. If we were at Hollywood Studios, I made sure to reserve seating for Fantasmic and then pick two of the big must-do attractions for the group for the other one. So then you were guaranteed, like, you knew going into your day, I for sure get to experience and do these three things. Honestly, I wish we had something, like you said, I wish we had something like that at Disneyland. I really wish we had something like this for the shows. I wish I could go on my phone and pre-plan and say, I want to watch Fantasmic tonight and get myself into the, like, seating the, you know, seating spots versus what we're doing now with World of Color with the virtual queue and having to do that, remember to do that halfway through the day at noon. We forgot, like, we almost didn't do it because you were in the middle of an attraction and then I was supposed to do it. And then I realized when I was in there trying to do it, I didn't have everybody's tickets linked to my account.
We
remembered it. The day before that, we didn't remember it, so we thought we were being smart and booking a dining package thing that ended up we failed. We did that wrong. But we misunderstood.
The universe was just trying to tell us we did not need to watch World of Color.
And that's not the first time that we've gotten distracted, because it's midday that you have to remember to do this. So I wish we had something like this, so that at the very least you could do like you said, just pre-plan a couple of things. And I almost wish, if I was in charge of the universe, not that we need more services to make things more confusing, but I wish that could be its own separate thing. Like, I just want to pick the three things and then just go about my day how I go about my day, not worry about any other lightning lanes or anything like that. If I could just have a guaranteed three and then continue on, I think I'd be, like, a lot of people would be much happier, because they have a little bit more control over their day versus always staring at their phone trying to refresh to try and grab whatever lightning lane entries they can at that point.
Grobble, I hate the service in any everything. Grobble, it should go away. Standby lines, grobble. Okay, Oogie Boogie Bash tickets went on sale last week, and it was surprisingly uneventful for those looking to get tickets. In fact, Kate, one of our community managers, said, I feel like I haven't earned them without all of the drama. Where's the fun or whatever? No website issues. There are still tickets, as of the recording, to a limited amount of Tuesday evening parties. So if you still want to go and a Tuesday night works for you, I'd go check it out, because it's possible that you might be able to get a ticket.
I think this is wild. This is absolutely wild to me. Yes, the price went up. Yes, they added a couple of nights, but it should not have made this big of a difference. Last year, these tickets sold out in the blink of an eye. And now it's been days and there's still some available. I really liked how they did the slow release and they let Magic Keys go, like, have, you know, a gradual release to the top tier first and then the rest of the keys next and then general public. I really liked how they did that and how they did that rollout. But man, this went like lickety slick smooth.
We've gotten since I wrote the script earlier today, about 4 hours ago now, two of the dates have disappeared. So there are only three dates as of recording. We're recording this at 5:20 on July 2nd. There is still tickets for September 3rd, September 10th, and October 29th.
Which is wild to me, because that's like, there's Halloween and there's October 29th. Those are the two, like, if you're not on Halloween, October 29th is the closest party date to Halloween. So that's wild to me that one's still there. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if last year just happened to be like the peak, because that was what, year three for Oogie Boogie Bash. And so maybe people aren't feeling quite the same like drive and need to go. I mean, you and I aren't going this year.
I would like to say, because we did not want to get tickets for
That's it.
The system was like, okay, it can work fine, because it's only when we want tickets does it become like a whole process. But no. I'm glad that there are still tickets, and I'm hoping that as these events go forward, that Disney has finally figured out whatever it needed to figure out to get this to be a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm. Well, same thing for Star Wars Night this year. Star Wars Night was not the whole conundrum to get tickets that it had been in the past. So something's different, and I don't know what it is. I feel like Disney's done something on the back end to make the actual release a little bit smoother and the process of getting in to buy the tickets better and faster. But I also think, I don't know if fans have been burnt out and if they are more of like one and done fans, so these are kind of old news events to them now, or if people just maybe simply got frustrated when years passed and just didn't want to put themselves through it, and they're just like, nope, we're skipping it. You know, that could be it too. Who knows? But
yeah, I'm glad it's easier this time.
Well, as of July 1st, Din Tai Fung is officially open. The new dumpling house has exited soft opening, and guests can now make reservations online to dine at the location. Inside, there is a window where you can see the dumplings that are being made in a display kitchen and purchase some exclusive merchandise in the gift shop. Reservations can be booked in the link in our show notes. I will say, when we check, because we are trying to get our reservations for Din Tai Fung, it's only through July that they have reservations.
Yeah.
That you can look through.
And as of checking, there's absolutely no availability.
Tuesday, July 2nd.
Today, right now.
Go.
If you wanted to go run right now.
Yeah, as we're recording this. So you're listening to this in the future. So you could have gone last night. I'm sorry.
If they're listening to it the other day. We do have a link in the show note directly to the thing. If you go on Din Tai Fung's website to their location, it says closed still for some reason.
It does, yeah.
But if you click on it, it takes you to the page we have linked to the show notes with a big book or reservation link. I've also heard that I wouldn't bet on this or plan on this, but if you want to take a chance, you can also walk up and see if there's anything available,
yeah.
Which also works. I am very excited to try this. I love seeing behind the scenes things, so I feel like I will be sat at that window watching them make dumplings.
You know what? I wish they had a bar. Like, I wish it was like a sushi place where you can like sit at the sushi bar and watch them.
Oh.
I wish they had like seating outside of the kitchen because it's behind glass, but I wish there was, yeah, like a bar top or something there that you could enjoy your dumplings while you're watching them make the dumplings. I think that'd be so fun.
I just want some dumplings, well, and I'm very excited for this.
I've heard a lot of really positive reviews from people that did get to go try it out during the soft opening, so I'm really excited. It's more of a family style with how they do things there, so just kind of keep that in mind if you're perusing the menu online. And, you know, keep that in mind when you're thinking prices and just quantity of items. It is set up to be more of a family style dining thing.
Well, a quick update on the Porto's rumors. In the article that we linked last week about Din Tai Fung opening, there was a paragraph towards the bottom that mentioned that Porto's was coming to Downtown Disney. This is a good indication that the restaurant is still planning on coming to the district, at least for now. Because we had all those rumors that
there,
it was
yes,
not
yes, there was
doing
a lot
it.
Of rumors that because Earl has not moved into their temporary location, their little temporary trailer at the far end of the Downtown Disney area, that people were thinking that Porto's wasn't coming, because before Porto's can redo that location, Earl needs to move out. Step one, Earl, get out of there. Step two, Porto's, start doing your thing. So
step three, profit.
Yes. Yeah, step three, doors are open. Here we go. So the fact that step one seems to be taking forever, and really that of the steps, it seems like one of the easier ones since they already have the temporary trailer set. A lot of people were getting nervous and thinking, ooh, this is maybe a sign that Porto's isn't coming. Maybe they're trying to back out of the deal or whatever. One thing I do wonder, Tag and I, as we read this article, link in the show notes so you can read through it yourself and take your pick take on it. I read it one way and he read it a different way. I read it wondering if maybe they were saying Porto's might be going to the far side of Downtown Disney, down by like the Parkside Market area, down by where the new stage and lawn area is. I thought maybe it was saying that. Tag didn't read it that way. He thought it was just a generic, these are the things coming to the Downtown Disney area in general. So time will tell, but Porto's is still part of the plan, according to Disney. And again, like Tag said, they just they released this article and we reported on it last week. So this is still
very new
news.
How did you find yourself back in this article?
You want to know why?
Yeah.
David from Fresh Baked. That's why. I was watching his construction update and he pointed this out. And I'm like, I completely missed this because I was so excited about Din Tai Fung and that news that I totally completely skipped the rest of the, this is what else is going on, because we knew all of the other this is what's going on stuff. So good catch, David from Fresh Baked.
My question with this, not directly to Porto's, but this Parkside Market in general, I feel like Din Tai Fung was under construction and then like boom, it was done.
I know.
Where I feel like Parkside Market is just, I feel like there's like three guys working on it or something.
Feel like that's what Din Tai Fung was too. It was a very slow getting, like it felt like it was taking forever and then boom, like it, yeah. So maybe that'll be the same thing with Parkside Market.
I just want Parkside Market to hurry up because I want to try some more things in Downtown Disney.
I can't believe how many food options we will soon have at Downtown Disney. It's gonna be like,
well, hopefully they'll be affordable, because that's the problem, is like some of those things, like I used to really like Naples, but the last time we ate there the prices had skyrocketed.
Well,
so,
and I wasn't over, like,
impressed.
It was okay,
it. Yeah,
but like I wasn't thinking it was worth it for me.
Yeah,
the prices were worth
no, I agree with you.
Yeah, Plus, there's just...
pizza and pasta. How much can you charge for pizza
and
pasta?
But there's also so many delicious options inside the parks and now lots of different delicious options outside the parks because we've really grown fond, of course, of Earl of Sandwich, but also Tongaroa Terrace has quickly become a fast favorite of ours, too. So there's just lots of great options. As a reminder to guests going to Disneyland after July 8th, a lot of the west side of the park will be closed. This is kind of wild and kind of crazy, but the path to Galaxy's Edge will not be accessible. That's the one that's over back behind or in front of Hungry Bear. All of Critter Country will be closed starting at Harbor Galley. So you will not be able to walk past like the Harbor Galley area. So that means no canoes, no fruit cart, which I have now found, pro tip, has really great pin trading back at that fruit cart. Tag also really enjoys the pickles. No Hungry Bear, and of course, no Pooh Corner, nothing. None of that. Everything is going to be closed, which is wild.
We are 6 days away from finding out if where our walls are from Galaxy's Edge, are like where they're going to be. Because remember, we were talking about where we thought that was going to be.
Where the Galaxy's Edge wall side's going
to
be.
I also want to say, we have this linked in the show notes. There's a MiceChat article. These are all new. Do you see all these pipes coming out of Tiana's Bayou Adventure? Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, all this is going to be closed pretty soon. The next time this area is going to be open, the attraction is going to be basically done.
I don't know. The whole thing is just wild to me because I thought it was nuts that they had Splash and Haunted Mansion down at the same time. And now we haven't been able to go back to Critter Country, which is still, if you have been back to the far west side of the park recently, it's very quiet and calm and chill back there because there's not a lot of things drawing you back there. You did at least still have the canoes and you still had Hungry Bear and the path to get back to Galaxy's Edge. So it's wild to me. Really, the only reason you'd go past New Orleans Square is to go to to get the cookies from Harbor Galley. There's absolutely no reason to be going that deep into. So I'm kind of surprised that Harbor Galley is even going to be open because I can't imagine too many people are going to be going. It's kind of out of the way now because there's nothing else for you to do back there. Wild.
I also wanted to ask you about, there's also some photos here in relation to this of lots of brickwork happening at the Haunted Mansion. What do you think about what we're seeing there?
It's fun. They started and we were able to kind of peek when we were on the Mark Twain to see some of this starting. And I'm just really curious to see how this all comes out because I don't know. Because right now the walls look high, but I don't think they've backfilled with what will be landscaping there yet. So it'll be interesting to see. I just love watching this all kind of come together because when they first started putting those brick walls in, which will be parts of the new queue, I was like, what? I don't remember seeing that part in the concept art. So I'm just really curious. The other thing, I have not even told you this, Tag. I have this secret little hope in my heart. It's probably wrong, but I'm going to keep it there until everything proves me wrong or proves me right. I have this secret little hope that they are not, because they have not touched it yet. I really, really hope that the original Pet Sematary is going to be public access again, because the original public cemetery is behind the crypt that you exit out of, which what's going next to the crypt that you exit out of? Oh, the new gift shop. They have not torn any of that Pet Sematary down yet, which
in fairness,
I find
they haven't torn down like almost anything on that side except for
they
the
have
trees.
They took trees out and there's like fencing and stuff. So
talking about how sad this lamp is that it's like sideways. Anyway.
Yeah, but part of me is wonder. I almost feel like this is intentional because the other side of the mansion, the left side of the mansion, they were ripping the crypts off the wall before anything else started. Like they did that way early in the game and got rid of that theming. So I just have this little tiny hope in my heart. It's probably wrong and I have no insider information, but I hope.
Well, weekly tiers who want to support a good cause while enjoying the Disneyland Resort should sign up for the annual Chalk Walk in the park benefiting the Children's Hospital of Orange County. The event is on Sunday, July 21st. The event is a 5K walk through Disneyland and Disney California Adventure with plenty to see and experience before ending in Downtown Disney. Visit the link in our show notes to sign up if you're interested.
This time it is a little early this year because usually it was back what, about a month in or so? But yeah, July 21st, Chalk Walk. A lot of weekly tiers that we know have signed up and are going to go do this. They're raising funds for Chalk. It's a great, great, wonderful, wonderful cause. One of these years, Tag and I are going to definitely make it a priority to get out there so that we can take part in this awesome, awesome event and help raise funds for this great cause.
I want to make a DL Weekly team and see.
We want to give a special shout out to Mickey's Walkers because their team right now is the number one team for the fundraising dollars, which is incredible. And there's some very familiar names in this team. We've got some special weekly tiers as well as people that have been previous guests on the show, which is just amazing. That's so fun that they're the top team right now. How awesome.
I didn't even know that, but I was wondering, I was searching earlier when I came across this to see if I could find Terry, because I thought Terry would have the team called after her name or something, but this makes more sense. I didn't look under individual. I should have looked under individual.
Yeah,
but
it shows the whole team.
But they big got quite a lot too. Of people that have raised quite a bit of money so far.
Super awesome.
For it. So that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Most weight loss plans are one size fits all, but Noom builds personal plans that meet your needs. Noom takes into account dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs to build the plan that works for you. Noom is built for your psychology and your biology. Noom Weight uses psychology. That's why they say losing weight starts with your brain, but it also takes into account your unique biological factors, which also affect weight loss success. The program helps you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have cravings. Everyone's journey is different, so your daily lessons are personalized to you and your goals. Noom helps you build new habits for a healthier lifestyle. To date, Noom has helped more than 5.2 million people lose weight. Noom's flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's N-O-O-M.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold. Individual results may vary. Visit our website at noom.com for more information.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Here you are. BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too.
Aw,
I mean, just look at the little guy.
Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
I am Groot.
What do you mean you're hungry? Kraglin needs those pots for the rehydrator. We don't have time for snacks.
I am Groot.
Were you talking to Tag and Teresa again? How'd they even get a hold of you?
I am Groot.
Fine. One snack. That's it.
I am Groot.
No, I haven't seen any churros. You gotta talk to Vern. And stop smiling.
Well, this week in Snack Chat, we are taking a detour over to Churro Talk with Vern. Because how many did you have? We counted. Seven or eight?
Seven, I believe, yes.
Seven specialty churros. This man taste tested for the weekly tiers. I'm sure it was really painful and terrible for him. Not at all.
Such a sacrifice.
It was. So I, you know, this is the lengths I'm willing to go to because I care and because I am here for you, the listeners.
You're here for the churros. So well, tell us about what churro you're going to be discussing this week.
So today I am talking about the strawberry churro that I enjoyed while I was in New Orleans Square. So this one didn't have the cinnamon sugar to it, which, you know, sometimes can be a good thing. I mean, of course, your classic churro always has your cinnamon sugar, but you don't always have to have that. This was a strawberry sugar that they used on it. It was a subtle flavoring that wasn't overly powerful. I had the candy strawberry flavor, like, you know, when you get those the candy strawberries that are wrapped in the red wrappers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So it had kind of that flavor to it overall. Personally, I did not get the optional chocolate sauce that was offered. I thought that that might make it a little too sweet. Certainly, if you choose to do that, that is, you know, entirely up to you. Overall, I felt that this particular churro was a little underwhelming. I probably won't try it again. Maybe I should have gotten the chocolate sauce.
You know, I'm thinking
that it would have complemented it really well, maybe given it kind of like a Neapolitan ice cream type flavor.
Yeah, I'm thinking this one would probably be best enjoyed with the chocolate sauce. Because you're right. I tried this one and the strawberry was a very subtle flavor.
Yep. Teg, did you try that one?
I don't think I did.
No.
And you would rate this, did you already, what would you rate this out of 10?
So overall, I'm giving this one a, keeping in mind that I tried it without the chocolate sauce, I'm going to give it like a 6 out of 10. I mean, a churro can't go wrong because it's still a churro. So, but it's one that I enjoyed it. It was tasty. It was eatable. I'm not upset that I ate it. But I don't have to go running back and have another one. So I'll give it a 5 to 6 out of 10. Definitely recommend try it with the chocolate sauce. I think that would actually give it more flavor. I hesitated and didn't do the chocolate sauce because I thought it would be too sweet. And now I'm wishing I had.
Sauces, man. Sauces. Yep. I feel like you should get the sauce always. And then like you have at least you have the option.
True.
True.
Yep. I could have always just not done sauce on, you know, every other bite or something. So lessons learned for future churros. Yep. Are we feeling frisky? Do we want to go for two?
Totally up to you.
Sure.
All right, let's go for a second one. Let's bop out of New Orleans and go over to Tomorrowland, where I tried the blackberry churro. Blackberry. The blackberry churro was blackberry sugar instead of the traditional cinnamon sugar. It was very blackberry forward, very sweet with a taste of like a blackberry jam type of flavor to it.
Oh.
And it came with a strawberry banana dipping sauce. And that pairing was absolutely superb. The sauce had a slight tart to it that worked magnificently with the sweetness of the sugar. And I rated that one as delightful. We'll definitely try again.
So
now we have a scale, not the 1 to 10.
Yes,
right.
We're leaving the 10 scale. We're going with the delightful scale.
But
so,
the sauce that you said had banana flavoring as well?
Yeah, that was a strawberry banana dipping sauce with the blackberry sugar to it. So you get that combination of flavors where it had that kind of blackberry jam flavor just from the sugar. And then throwing in that strawberry banana dipping sauce. It was just this melody of flavors going on. It was wonderful.
Well, my concern with anything with banana is I feel like, did it taste like real banana or was that like artificial banana? And did it like overpower? Because I feel like banana is one of those flavors that I feel like it just overpowers everything.
It had a bit of that Runtz candy banana flavor, you know, that candy banana that isn't really a banana, but we identify it as banana because that's what we've been trained to do.
Sure.
You know? But it wasn't. Like, the banana itself was a complement of flavor. It wasn't an overpowering flavor. It blended very well with the strawberry, and then blending that in with the blackberry as well. It all just really worked together so nicely.
See,
when I was writing my notes, I just said, I got to try this one again.
See, I have the opposite reaction to that, because I tried that one, and it was really tart tasting to me, and it felt like there were too many flavors for me that were competing.
Sure.
But the overwhelming flavor was the tartness of the blackberries. Olivia in the chat asked if the sauce tastes like a yogurt, since it was strawberry banana.
I personally didn't make that reference, but now that I get that question, I can see where
a strawberry banana like frosting kind of.
Yeah, it was more like a frosting, not so much like a yogurt, but I could see where a regular yogurt eater might get that comparison.
Yeah, I would say it was probably more sugary than what a yogurt.
Yes.
A strawberry banana yogurt
it had
tastes like.
More like, and especially the consistency of it too. Lended more towards a frosting than a yogurt.
Now, I know you already went on some other different scale for this, but just for consistency, where would you put it on a 10?
I'd definitely give this one at least a 9.
Ooh.
I mean, the tartness of it which I did notice too. I wasn't turned off by it like Teresa was, but the tartness was a little much to give it a true 10. And of course, anything that I'm, you know, going to give a 10 to has to compare to the ultimate, the chili cheese churro. And, you know, nothing.
You're going to turn a lot of people off. I'm going to be like, we're not going to listen to this guy. If the best ever churro was that nacho cheese sauce churro.
You know,
in fairness, he did not get to try like the cannoli churro or that blueberry cheesecake churro that I love.
The one that you were like,
so
wanted to eat the cup that the
so
dip was
much.
In.
It was so good. So this churro is located in Tomorrowland at the churro cart. So it's the churro cart that's
under the people
under
mover
the
track.
People mover track.
Yes.
Next to, oh gosh, what is it? The Little Green Men
store.
Store.
Yeah.
I think is what it's called outside of that. So like in the middle of Tomorrowland.
The only place that has a churro cart under the tracks
That's
of the
true.
Bill Mover.
That is true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it is that time again for our friend Eric over at ConcyEars to catch us up on other Disney news.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with ConcyEars, and welcome to the D180. While Teg and Teresa cover all things Disneyland, in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We begin this week at Walt Disney World, where an awful lot of summer surprises seem ready to pop. First up is the return of the Country Bear Musical Jamboree, one of my all-time favorites. July 17th marks the return of the whole Bear crew, new and improved. These folks have new outfits and presumably a thorough fur shampooing to get ready for their new act. The songs pay tribute to Disney songs, both classic and new, using a style that would feel right at home in Nashville. Check them out on your next trip to Frontierland in the Magic Kingdom. Big news is coming to Disney's Hollywood Studios, too. A certain theater has remained empty since 2020, leaving little to do in the park's animation courtyard aside from the Disney Junior Dance Party and some Star Wars character greets. The Voyage of the Little Mermaid ran from 1992 into 2020 and delighted all with its combo of puppetry, live action, and video. Sometime this fall, 2024, The Little Mermaid, a musical adventure, is returning to Hollywood Studios. The new show promises to combine some elements of the original production with brand new puppets and even more songs from the movie. It's great to have more options to see in the park, especially something that everybody enjoyed so much in its original form. Fans of The Lion King will have a lot to love in Disney's Animal Kingdom this summer, now through September 6th. Holy cow, they really fired up the merch and treats machines for this one. All around the park, find snacks from simple sugar cookies decorated like Simba's paw to the magnificent passion fruit mango cheesecake with coconut lime crust and a little chocolate Rafiki on top. At Tiffin's restaurant, there's a squash banana shake and a dessert made with Kenyan coffee mousse and banana caramel sauce. For more refreshing fare, seek out Simba's mango slushy topped with grenadine and gummy grubs or the Zazu ice cream sandwich. Yum! Where's the merch, I hear you crying? How about a new Pumbaa popcorn bucket, a Hakuna Matata earband, sweatshirts, hoodies, fanny packs, and a new Magic Band Plus featuring Simba and his pals? Wear your Magic Band Plus at the Festival of the Lion King show and experience the new lights and haptic effects throughout the show. Ask our concierge experts about the discounts available on Walt Disney World rooms this summer, coming up to 30% off. There's also another option for a free dining plan for your family. Free is good, right? Oh yeah, and you astute listeners probably already know that Tiana's Bayou Adventure opens real soon on June 28th. I spoke last time about National Geographic Expeditions. I'm short on time, but let me introduce you to some new and exciting possibilities for the more adventurous crowd. Private tours. You've heard about the around-the-world private jet tours, but have you heard about their private trips to natural and cultural destinations around the world? Nat Geo offers multiple trips in 2025 to Australia, Africa, Asia, and plenty other destinations. Maybe next time. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you'd like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both DL Weekly and us, their official travel planners, ConcyEars. We look forward to planning something special for you and yours. I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Thanks, Eric.
DL Weekly announces the boarding of the Trivia Express, non-stop star speeder service to the moon of Endor. All passengers, please prepare for immediate boarding.
Welcome to Trivia Land, where we've got combination of a question that I came up with while we were on our last trip and four listener submitted questions. How are you feeling right now? You got some great knowledge in your brains. You ready to tackle these head on?
I have more hope for the listener submitted questions than I do your question that you
considering I got one out of four last week. I feel like it's only uphill from here.
Well, all right. Let's see how
one
you
out of
do.
Four. I don't think no, we didn't get that one right.
Oh no!
Because I can't remember how many we were supposed to have named.
I don't know.
More than
it doesn't
the two
matter.
That we named.
It's only up from here is the point.
Okay.
Oh boy. All right. Well, let's see how this week goes for you then. Your first question from my observation while we were in the park: what is your first animatronic that you see in Pirates of the Caribbean?
Are you counting the queue?
I feel like this is a trick question.
Are you counting the queue?
I'm asking, what is the first animatronic that you see in Pirates of the Caribbean?
I'm going to say the bird when you enter the building.
Yeah, the parrot.
Yeah.
If it's not the parrot when you first enter the building, I don't think the guy counts.
Do you count the alligators?
Nope, because they don't move. Mm. I think it's, that's there, the Jolly Rogers, the first moving.
The dude's rocking his chair, isn't he?
But is that, he's not.
I think it depends on what you count as an animatronic.
Yeah, because I was going to say, the audio animatronic is Mr. Psst, Vest there, Jolly Roger.
Sure.
But yeah, I guess he'd be the first.
I'm going to say the parrot, because I think that's what this is going for.
Too.
So parrot, is that your final answer?
Yeah, the parrot that's at the beginning, before you even get on the ride.
Yeah, he's like, rah, rah.
Or are you saying once you get on the ride? I think you have to be specific.
Are you in the boat? Are you in the boat?
I am asking, what is the first animatronic in Pirates of the Caribbean?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Because you're sitting over there talking about parrots.
Go with the parrot.
You know, I think that's an alternate attraction that I would not be opposed to seeing.
It's the Tiki Room takeover.
Pirates of the Caribbean. I love it.
I would go to that attraction, not lying.
But yeah.
Yeah, so at Pirates of the Caribbean, you think that you see a pirate first, right?
Yes.
Something like that.
Got it. All right. Your second question from listener Donna S. What year did the coat of arms crest go up on Sleeping Beauty's castle?
Ooh.
Hmm.
Was it not their opening day?
I'm guessing not.
I'm still going to say 55.
I'm going to say 57 was the first thing that came to mind, but I could be wrong.
So 1957 and 1955, final answers?
Yes.
All right. Your third regular round question from listener Andy M. Bing Crosby famously narrated the Ichabod section from Ichabod and Mr. Toad, the cartoons that inspired Toad's Wild Ride. What famous detective, quoted, narrated the Mr. Toad segment?
Famous detective, but it was in air quotes.
No, there was quotations around the word detective.
I don't know. I can hear the I can hear the narration from the film, but I can't place that. Like, I can't place the voice to say that it's also this other person. I'm assuming it's an actor that plays a detective. And that's why the air quotes for detective.
But who's like a famous detective from that time?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Like, was there a Sherlock at that time?
I mean, I'm sure that there was Sherlock stories were out, but I don't know if there was somebody specific.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm stumped.
I'm stumped too.
So stumped. Final answer?
Stumped.
Just so you know,
someone
every time
in the
I
chat,
write that,
we're not
I give
taking
it a
this,
T
but we're giving credit. Someone, Lee in our chat, because right now, for those of you that are wondering why we keep referring to the chat, every month our supporters at the AP and above levels get to hang out with us while we do a live stream recording of the episode. And so tonight's the night for the live stream episode. And listener Lee, his guest is Basil Rathbone. Basil Rathbone.
Oh, we're on our third ear change of the night.
My goodness. Now he's matching you.
Sir.
Oh, very nice.
Very nice. We are both wearing our Club 33.
Yeah, your guys's never is this going to leave this house.
Gotta wear it when you can.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I got my baseball cap.
Not going on a plane.
And Vern's got his Mickey ears.
All right. Let's move on to All question right. four.
Question number four from listener Sarah M. You're familiar with the Pepper's Ghost effect, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What is the smallest Pepper's Ghost effect in all of Disneyland Resort, and where is it?
Oh.
Hmm.
The smallest Pepper's Ghost effect.
And where is it? Hmm. I feel like this is going to be something like a Tinkerbell or something that appears. You know what? I have a tickle in my brain. I think it's going to be a Tinkerbell somewhere. Well, no, they don't theme it to that anymore. I was going to say on Tom Sawyer Island, like in the caves, like I think they had something like that. I'm excited to know what the answer is at the end.
The smallest one of the ones that I can think of off the top of my head is Winnie the Pooh. But I'm sure there's probably something
that's fairly
smaller.
Big, though.
I know, but it's the smallest of the ones I can remember.
I think there's a Pepper's Ghost effect somewhere on Tom Sawyer Island, but I don't know what it is. But I think there's an effect there.
It's been long enough that I don't remember the details of all the little details of Tom Sawyer Island.
Because the Tinkerbell that's in the line for Pirates for Peter Pan.
Yeah, that's not a Pepper's Ghost.
It's not Pepper's Ghost. It's like
a frosted glass that goes away. Yeah. And I'm trying to think, because I was trying to think, like, in Pinocchio, if Jiminy Cricket ever is a Pepper's Ghost. And I don't think he is.
I don't think so either.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like I should know this one, but I don't.
I'm just going to say Tom Sawyer Island.
Is the
attraction?
It's Pooh.
Yeah.
On the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Sure. I'm just going to say Tom Sawyer Island somewhere. So I could get a half point maybe, but probably not.
What was the original question?
What is the smallest Pepper's Ghost in all of Disneyland, and where is it?
Oh, there was and where. I just remembered, what is the smallest, Mike? Are you giving yourself half?
No, 2 points.
Half credit?
2 points.
Okay. So we've got Tag with Tom Sawyer Island and Teresa with Pooh and the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Mm-hmm.
Final answers.
I think so.
Final sad answers.
All righty. And for a bonus question from listener Katie F. In Snow White's Enchanted Witch, there is a cuckoo clock in the dwarves' cottage, but it does not have a bird as would traditionally be seen in a cuckoo clock. What does it have instead?
I remember talking about this before somewhere.
I think it's a critter. Is it like a squirrel?
I mean, that's the question, right?
No, but like, I think it's a critter, but I don't remember if it's a squirrel or like a chipmunk. But it's like a little critter.
Well, if you pick one, I'll pick the other.
I'm doing both, squirrel/chipmunk.
Okay. I'll say a chipmunk because they're smaller.
All right. So squirrel/chipmunk and chipmunk.
I love how you're picking two things.
Now I'm like stuck on thinking all of the different cuckoo clocks that
Geppetto
had, which has all sorts of
things. Did you want to specify, was that Alvin, Simon, or Theodore?
You mean Chip or Dale?
Wrong universe. Sorry.
Wrong universe.
All right. Final answers.
Yeah, I think so.
Excellent. Well, listeners, how do you think they did? How did you do listening at home, or those of you that are watching us on the live stream? Stick around until after the discussion, and we can all find out the correct answers together. Or find out how many correct answers they got. We'll just all find out together.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Save big money on your outdoor storage solutions right now at Menards. Protect your car, boat, or yard equipment with VersaTube storage buildings. They're made with durable galvanized steel and quick-slip frame connections for easy do-it-yourself assembly. Save big on all VersaTube storage buildings at Menards. Number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at Menards.
Here you are, BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too.
Aw,
I mean, just look at the little guy.
Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
Well, this week for our discussion topic, we wanted to have James and Vern come on and talk about, because the only other After Hours night they've been to was Star Wars night, which we all agree was kind of a suboptimal experience, we'll say.
I'm super excited to hear James and Vern's take on Pride Night and their comparisons, since it's now their second ever After Hours night, of what they thought of Pride Night versus Star Wars night.
So, hello, boys.
Well, hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. So where would you guys like to start?
You know, it was very tiring because at Star Wars night, I had so much relaxation time as I stood in lines for hours and hours and hours. And at Pride night, all we did was walk around and do stuff and see things. And I never got to rest.
Pretty much. I mean, there was a huge benefit that it wasn't raining.
That, yes. I mean, in defense of Star Wars night, the weather did not cooperate, and that put a downer on a lot of the activities that they did have planned, and we could have ultimately had a better night had it not been raining.
Yep. Yep. But I think this one also, one of my big takeaways, which probably should be like a final summary point, but we'll start with it anyway, is Pride Night didn't exist to go and see characters from a universe that doesn't really show up in the parks ever.
Yes.
Pride Night existed to be around in a cool place and see things in a fun and different way inside the park. There's a better way to describe that.
Yes, but the point comes across. Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that has been on my mind thinking about talking about this tonight is that I very much appreciate both nights for the community that they allow.
Yes.
That at both nights there is the opportunity that, you know, as a Star Wars geek, you can't always walk into any room, any environment, and just let your Star Wars geek flag fly. Because not everybody in the room is going to be comfortable with that. Not everybody in the room is going to engage in conversation about that. And as a LGBTQIA person, you can't always just walk into every single room and know that every single person is going to be comfortable with that. But with both of these After Hours events, you were with like-minded people. You knew Yes. that every single person there had paid money to be there, to be like you, to talk like you, walk like you. And that is no, you know, Disney putting on these events for people to have that comfortable, safe space is just absolutely awesome. And my ears off, my hat off, whatever I have on my head to Disney, that they do create these safe spaces and these communities for people.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's pretty excellent. Like the Star Wars one, truly, you saw just how much people were caring and passionate of it. And I think the Disney parks were smart enough to do that too, because like that was the cavalcade for them, or cavalcade. It was people can walk in their amazing costumes and go.
Yes.
God.
Yeah, I've seen plenty of Disney parades. You know, every day that you're in a Disney park, you see a Disney parade. You see a couple Disney parades.
Yep.
You set aside time that you're going to go try to scout out a spot along Main Street, and you might sit there. There was one trip that Teresa and I did several years ago where we had been there for a few days, and we had ridden all the attractions we wanted to ride, whatnot, and we're kind of tired. Our feet are a little sore, and we said, you know,
as it happens,
we have a good spot here. Let's just sit for a couple hours and people watch, and we'll catch the parade as it goes by because we've got a really good spot.
Mm-hmm.
We had a bench and everything, and this was in DCA. And so we sat on our bench for like 2 hours at least, and we enjoyed our really good spot for the parade going by. But so I've seen dozens of parades, and I've seen really high energy dancers, and I've seen great floats and whatnot. But oh my God, the cavalcade for Pride Night. Those dancers were so into it, and every float was just so, I mean, they brought their A game for that cavalcade.
They did.
It was amazing.
Yeah, the energy was incredible, both from the crowd and the parade goers, which just kept going and going. Now it's like 9:30 at night, and we're just ready for this party to begin.
Yes, and it became a feedback loop of the more the crowd got into it, the more the dancers got into it, which then the crowd got more into it. So then, of course, the dancers got more into it, and they all just fed off of each other. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, and they had such fun costumes. The dances felt very like modern and trendy and like easy to watch and celebrate and still give them a chance. Those entertainers were able to show off what they could do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, it was just fun.
Yes.
I was very glad that they stopped, you know, at least twice on the route to go through that full routine for people.
Yes.
I don't know if they had a third stop. I don't think they did, but Main Street and then Small World, just to really kind of go at it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. That just set a tone for me, like early on. Like the fireworks were really good.
Yes.
They were five minutes of fireworks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But for something that's happening only two nights, let's go with it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I understand you can't pour too much heart and soul into production value of something you're only doing twice.
Yep.
I get it.
Yep. And if we're talking comparison, Star Wars probably was a little bit better for the fireworks experience, but I will always defend Star Wars music is so anthemic that it just works.
When you're using the John Williams score, your options and your abilities are just endless.
Yeah.
So
yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Anthemic was a great choice of words. Yeah. Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, but they did a great job with it, and then just going off that, it was like we're ready for this night to be. Like, it's off on the right foot. We got everything that we're hoping for. Like, this is just going really well.
Mm-hmm. And ending with The Greatest Showman, This Is Me.
Yeah.
First time ever using a Fox song in a Disney park, and just, and that iconic song that has become an anthem in the gay community is just, that was a heartfelt moment.
There were a lot of people singing that on Main Street.
Yeah.
I think that's also probably the biggest moment where most phones came back out.
Yeah. Yep. And a lot of phones I saw go down because people were just so into the moment that they didn't want to record. They wanted to just be.
It's kind of that sense of community like you were talking about. So mm-hmm. I think we had a lot of that. And then we followed the cavalcade, and I think that led us to one of our big wow moments for the night when we saw the Muses perform.
Yeah. Wow, they were good singers.
Oh, they were so good.
Yeah. I don't know if I read something somewhere or if somebody said something to me. I went into it believing they were an a cappella group.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they weren't, that took me a couple minutes to adjust.
Yep.
I spent like the first song or two going, wait, they're not a cappella. this isn't what I expected. What are you doing?
but
once I adjusted my thinking and I accepted what they were, then I said, oh, okay, we're good. And I mean, they were just so phenomenal singers, and their chemistry, the way that they work together and how they hit those harmonies. I don't know how long they've been singing together or how many performances they've done, But if you had told me they'd been together for decades and done thousands of performances, I would believe you.
Absolute professionals. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was so good. It really made me crave. Like, I think I get this a lot when I thought about when we talked about the cruise and now talking about this, how much I want more of that Disney music to really kind of set the environment tone. Because mm-hmm. I think about a lot of street performers and we get it from the band.
Sure.
But that's a different kind of thing. But then everything else is kind of thematic, which that makes sense for the park, right? Yeah. That's what Disneyland is.
Yes.
But like, I kind of want that Disney infusion somewhere, and I don't know where I can necessarily get that, especially at the caliber that was.
Yeah. I mean, I love the Dapper Dans. I will go out of my way to bop over to Main Street and catch them when I know that they're performing. But they're very much just a Main Street thing.
Yep.
And they're very good, but they just have their place and they just do their little medleys and they've got their 5 minute set or 15 minute set, however long their set is, and then all right, thanks for a good show, catch you guys in a couple hours.
Yeah.
And then there's even the ragtime piano player over by Coke Corner.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely love catching them any chance that I get. But again, it's just you get your little medleys and all right, thanks. You did a great thing for your space that you're in.
Yeah. Yep.
You can't just get that generalized Disney upbeat good feel like you were talking about.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. It just doesn't happen. But you know, that kind of makes the night a little special.
Oh, totally.
But then it's also like there's a lot of other things that make it special too that you want to spend time. So it's like, is it worth it to go see it twice?
Mm.
And I was of the mindset of no, there's a lot of other things I want to do. And I think you all just kind of followed me on that one for better or for worse. Yeah.
I did appreciate that we kind of kept swinging near them so I could like kind of catch up. Oh, I can hear them. I can hear them. Okay, and we're moving away.
Yep.
So it was cool to at least kind of keep catching a little bit of them, but I didn't need to just go stand there again.
Yeah.
Oh, and shout out to whoever it was that was the listener that was standing next to me while we were listening to the Muses. I never caught your name, but it was really cool meeting you. Hope you had a wonderful night. Yeah. So just wanted to say hi to you.
Yeah, so that was pretty darn awesome. Like all of those falling into place together for us to start the night, like those were, I'd say probably like three of the big things that were like, we have to make sure we do this.
Mm.
As opposed to Star Wars night, where we were like, there are characters we need to see and we're going to go for them. I don't know if there were necessarily characters that were like, we got to see them.
I really wanted to catch the Cantina Band and they got rained out.
Yep.
And I really wanted to catch Chopper.
Yep.
And he got rained out.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, like a lot of the things that I personally really wanted to do got rained out.
Yeah.
So again, it was, just the weather really conspired against us on Star Wars night.
It really did.
And yeah, I guess if I'm going to do a compare and contrast of my two after hours experiences, I feel that Pride Night was very be there in the activity based, be there for the show based. And so, you know, like we went and we saw the line dancing happening at Golden Horseshoe.
Yeah.
And that was cool, just, you know, watching them doing that thing. And you did, you went out and you did the cha-cha slide.
Yep.
Yeah. I've done that at far too many weddings and I had no desire to join it, but but I enjoyed watching you do it and that was wonderful.
I can't wait for another wedding I'm going to in September that I get to do it again, I'm sure.
Yay.
So
yeah. So for those that enjoyed doing that, that was awesome. I believe Teresa was doing it with you too, right?
She sure did.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for those that enjoy doing that, more power. I'm glad that you enjoyed it, but you know, it felt that, you know, it was very activity-based and show-based and let's-do-stuff-based. And Star Wars Night felt just entirely meet-the-characters-based.
Yeah.
And if you didn't want to wait in line to meet a character, then go ride an attraction.
Yep.
Because there was nothing else to do.
There were a few other photo spots, but again, like...
Yeah, take a picture.
Yeah.
You can take a picture with a character or you can take a picture with a speeder bike.
Yeah.
Or... You know,
I mean, we did definitely walk past a lot of the characters and those lines were long, maybe not quite as long as Star Wars, because like we popped over towards Mickey and Minnie at the Fantasyland Theater and that one was probably going to be like 45 minutes.
Yes, but not the 2 hours that we waited for Amidala.
No.
Or I think we actually ended up spending a total of like 3.5 hours on Amidala because we had to wait to get our ticket to see her.
Yep.
Yeah, so we had to get a ticket just to get in line to get in line. We had to get in line to get a ticket to get in line.
Yep.
And then we had to later get in line. So we probably spent at least 3 hours just on Amidala.
Yeah, that one was tough.
So 45 minutes for Minnie and Mickey? I'll do it.
Yep. Yep. But I think about it too. Like we saw Clarabelle. Clarabelle had a line.
Sure. Yep.
So there were a few.
Goofy
of them.
Was out in costume
Goofy
too.
Goofy was too. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yep. There were definitely characters out, and there were definitely people who went to meet them.
Yeah.
And hopefully they got out of it what they wanted, or made sure they picked and prioritized their characters.
Yeah, 100%.
So.
And we did, as a group, get our picture in the teacup.
We did, yep. Mm-hmm, yep. Fortunately, no line at that one, so.
It was a brief line. Yeah. It was like 5 minutes, and everybody was being very gracious about passing their phones to each other and taking pictures.
So nice. Yeah, full-fledged, that community setup was really kind of there in the environment.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
Yeah, and the queens being out, because we saw the queens right after we did the teacup.
We did, that's right.
Yeah, so there were characters just doing walk-around. Not even having a stationary spot and lines. It was just, I'm out here walking around. Do you want a selfie with me? We better catch up.
I feel like I noticed a lot more of that just in general on this whole trip of a few random characters popping around. But absolutely, yeah. Maleficent and the Evil Queen there was really neat in Fantasyland.
Yes, that was awesome. So yeah, I guess, overall, I think both events, I love that Disney has created an after-hours event for people of a certain community to be able to go and have an event for their community and to be able to hang out with like-minded people and feel safe and feel welcome and feel loved. But overall, if I had to choose which of the two events would I do again based on my experience and how did I feel, how much fun did I have, I had a much better time with Pride. I just overall enjoyed the experience. I felt that I had more entertainment, more value from my experience being at the Pride event.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it gets me interested in things like Throwback Night or Oogie Boogie, where you kind of get a lot more of that.
Sure.
More atmosphere, less character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Star Wars Night in general would just... I'd be more interested in like a Star Wars Comic-Con or a style of convention.
Sure.
Because then you're still going to get the people in their incredible costumes. Like, I cannot get over how good some of those are.
Yeah.
But then you might run into actors from the thing and get kind of more of that immersive experience over a longer time.
Because
time is short. And that's what we ran into in both the after hours events is like at the end of the night, it's like, I wish we could have had another hour or two to just... Yeah. See this a little bit more, do this again, because in the end, I think we rode, three attractions? We did Storybook Land Canal Boats, which we had the amazing cast member on that one.
Yes. Yeah, that was the best time I've had on Storybook Land.
It was like a Jungle Cruise apprenticeship or something. Yes.
Yep.
Did we ride Matterhorn then after that one? Yep, okay.
Yep, yeah, we bopped right across to Matterhorn because it was a short line.
Yep, and then...
And I got front row.
Oh.
Yeah. It was only second or third time I've been front row on Matterhorn.
I think I got front row for the first time.
Nice.
Tate and I rode it single rider one of the nights.
Nice.
And there was a group of 7 in line.
Oof.
And they had to split 2 and 5 because that's how the attraction went.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The group of 5 was an absolute mess on which rows they were supposed to sit in. And so the cast member just looked at me like, just figure out which row they didn't take. And so I got row 1.
Nice.
I did not realize how amazing that attraction is, first row. Like, you're so dang close to everything.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the few times I've jumped when Howard is right there.
Harold.
Sorry. Yes. Yeah. As I was saying it, I'm like, that's not the right word.
I knew you wouldn't forgive yourself.
You're close, but it's not it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you were just so close.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was amazing. I was happy to stumble into that one.
Yeah.
And then we rode Space Mountain.
Oh, nice.
Because we rushed over to it right after it reopened.
Yes, that's right.
Because we were at the family dance party, which I was disappointed. It was not much of a dance party. It's a lot of people just hanging out.
Yeah. So, boom. I mean, that's a lot of dances anyway.
Yeah. I mean, they did have 3. The fog over the Rivers of America.
That was cool.
Like,
that was cool.
I would have been really disappointed if it would have rained and, like, not knowing that it was there. Like, we would have lost that. We would have lost the family dance party.
Yes.
And, like, yeah, there weren't a lot of people at the Rivers America where you had like the more pop-up beat dance party.
Right, right.
But that atmosphere was so cool. I would have walked back and forth through that a ton.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the win, like you're saying. Atmosphere was great. Yes. It's one you can just walk around, be at Disneyland and do some Disneyland things, but just kind of embrace the world for what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Overall, you liked it better than Star Wars? Is that what the consensus was?
Yep.
Yeah.
What was your favorite thing all night?
Being there with my wife and my friends.
Yeah.
I mean, James, you could say Clarabelle.
Clarabelle, right?
No, I think his favorite thing was you holding his hand in public.
I mean, that was true. A big thing. I'm like, the comfort of the atmosphere.
You wearing your hat backwards?
I'm gonna skip that one. Like, honestly, it was probably just the cavalcade, that whole experience.
Ooh, the cavalcade was your number one, huh?
Yeah, the crowd experience, the performer's experience, it was just amazing. Like, if you had to ask me, I would fully believe that every single cast member that was there, no matter where we were in the park, was someone who said, yes, I would like to do Pride Night and be there.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of how engaged and involved and excited they were. Like, we talked about Storybook Land canal boats. Musa, our boat guide, was clearly interested in it and ready to go with, like, there's adults here tonight. Mm-hmm. I can have some fun with this. Mm-hmm. The performers were great. Every cast member we ran into was just, like, in it, ready to go, so nice, trying to make things happen. And that was just super extra special that, like, they just helped create more of that atmosphere along with the guests and everything else.
So what was your favorite, Vern?
I was actually, before he beat me to it, I was going to say the enthusiasm of the cast members. Yeah. The way that, and you could definitely tell that nobody was there because they just got scheduled to. It was definitely I want to be here. Mm-hmm. I am doing this because this is my night too. You know, I saw a lot of various pride flags on cast members and just an overall energy level and enthusiasm just everywhere that went, you know, whether they were the ones that were running the attractions or if they were the ones that were working with the characters that were out and about or just, you know, everybody that was, you know, on the clock as a cast member, they were just there because they enjoyed it and they were as much a part of the party as we were. And just like we were discussing earlier, that the cavalcade and the crowd were able to create a feedback loop off of each other, that the more the cavalcade got into it, the crowd got into it, and then the crowd getting into it made the cavalcade get into it, and that just kept feeding off of each other. Well, the cast members being happy to be there made me happy for them that they were happy, and it all just feeds like that. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I think other than my experience with the cruise ship, I feel like that was like the most like Disney night. I don't know.
Oh,
just
sure.
Like the electricity. And I don't think I might be wrong, but I don't recall anything happening at Pride Night that I was like, well, that person's an idiot. Or, you know what I mean? Like sometimes when you're in the park, you're like,
yeah,
you know, you get angry at people for just being, you know, guests that are doing stupid things sometimes.
Mm, sure.
Like I felt like everybody just seemed to be happy to be there. And like, it didn't matter what they were doing. They could literally just be sitting on a bench, people watching, and they were like having the time of their life.
Very true.
And so I thought that was really awesome. What was the highlight for you? What was your favorite thing?
My favorite thing, I think you and I talked about this last week, but the thing that stood out the most to me, aside from the overall just feeling and vibe, was the Muses. I just was so impressed with them. And I mean, they were all just wildly, wildly, wildly talented. And we found some videos of the performance on YouTube. We will link one of the videos. So if people are interested in what this vocal performance was all about, you can listen to it. But I just loved that they also seemed like in it beyond being in it. And they did a lot of Disney songs, of course, but they did different spins on them. We had males singing female parts, females singing male parts, and everyone just completely killing it. So to me, that was the most like jaw-dropping, just like,
yeah. Oh, somebody in our chat, Olivia, is saying that it sounded like people were present, so not like in their phones or stuff. And I agree.
I would say yes and no. There was definitely a lot of people that were still on their phones recording. And I saw there was still a lot of that, but yeah, yes and no.
I guess I just didn't see it as much. Like, I feel like I see it a lot in the parks. Just like walking between things, like people their phones.
Not so much on their phones, but I mean, like, there was a lot of
after hours.
Filming and just like setting things up so that they were not like live streaming type thing. I mean, there were people live streaming, of course.
Definitely were.
People that were kind of just like having to record all them. There were tons of phones up for the fireworks still.
Yeah.
So there was still a lot of people trying to capture the moments, but not people like in the app kind of usage, if that makes sense.
I guess part of that is because Lightning Lane is not available during too.
The map was physical. There is no map in the app for the events for the after hours stuff. Yeah. It's a physical map, which I also really enjoy, because then the only reason I do have my phone is to take pictures to capture memories, and it's not just constantly having to look at the next thing.
In fairness, the app does have a map of a lot of the things. If you go into tours and events, you can find a lot of locations based on those.
Leave it to James to have found it in the app.
I love the app.
One thing I particularly appreciated, though, was I'm a visual person when it comes to like food. And the fact that guide they handed us had pictures of all of the different foods. So I can be like, this sounds like it could be interesting, but like, what does it look like? Because I want to see what it looks like before I order it. So I appreciated that.
Definitely. Well, James,
can I throw this to left field fully before we get there? Because a thought that just crossed my mind is how empty Galaxy's Edge was while we were there for Pride Night versus Star Wars Night.
Oh my goodness, that was so surreal. Yeah, I completely forgot about that until you just brought that up when we walked through there. I was like, let's go see what Pride stuff they have up, and what the heck's going on back here?
Nothing.
Batuu doesn't celebrate Pride.
There
apparently
wasn't. Well, Daddy Jin Jarn came out, and that's it.
I was hoping that I heard rumors that C-3PO was supposed to be out and about and around somewhere, and I thought he'd be back there, but he was not. And I want to meet C-3PO.
Yeah, that definitely would have been a draw, but gosh, such a different experience on that one.
Yes.
Where it was standing room only if you were lucky.
Well, James and Vern, we are thrilled that you guys had such a good time at the Pride After Hours event. Tag and I know feel better because we were feeling pretty guilty that your first ever After Hours event was less than ideal for multiple reasons.
We learned a lot.
That's true.
We just got to get them to an Oogie Boogie Bash, because that's like the ultimate after hours event.
I don't know. Pride Night's pretty far up there, but Oogie Boogie Bash just does it really well with combining the character interactions along with the overall like feel of the evening.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I'd be curious about Throwback Night too as another option. So
if they bring it back.
Yep.
If they bring it back.
I want a 24-hour night. That's what I want.
Oh, yes.
That's what I want.
Well, Weekly Tears, it's hard to believe, but our next trip and meetup is just around the corner. So during D23 on Sunday, August 11th, we will be hanging out over at Lazy Dog Restaurant, which is located at 1623 West Catella Avenue in Orange, California, which also just happens to be walking distance from the Hana Center. We're going to have a group meetup on the patio there. It is free to attend, of course. There are food and drinks available at the restaurant if you choose to purchase, but free parking is also a big fun thing. Our plan is to head over there after the Honda Center. So the Honda Center event should be wrapping up around 7 p.m. So likely we'll be over at Lazy Dog Restaurant by 7:30, 8 o'clock, depending on how long it takes to get out of the Honda Center and over there. But the biggest thing is this is actually a group meetup. Imagineer Terry Harden will also be there with some of her people. So we're doing a two group meetup. So it's two for the price of one. So we do have a special guest. Terry Harden will also be at this meetup along with Terry's crew. So we're super excited. So this was planned actually by a Weekly Tier. So shout out to Stephanie for putting this together for us. But yeah, again, Lazy Dog Restaurant and Bar on Catella in Orange, California is where this will be at. Of course, there will be a link and notes in the show notes so you have all this information. But we hope to see many, many, many of
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
How about Captain Crunch's Crunchberries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John Littlefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunchberry.
No!
No one steals my Crunchberries.
I think you mean my Crunchberries. Choose your own Crunchventure with Cap'n Crunch.
Save big money on your next upgrade now at Menards. Some things never go out of style, like tile from Mohawk. In kitchens, bathrooms, or backsplashes, you can count on the durability and easy maintenance of tile. From classic design to contemporary chic, with over 350 tiles to choose from. Check out all our tile options at Menards. Number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers, according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at Menards.
You there.
It's okay. I'll be the only weekly tier without an answer. Make sure you send your questions to producer James or producer Vern at trivia@doweekly.net.
Welcome back to Trivia Land, where we can find out the answers to tonight's questions and see how the listeners at home did and how did Tag and Teresa do.
Ooh, I hope the listeners did better than we did.
They have. Somebody had to have done better than us.
Well, let's find out, shall we? I can say with a surety you got one right.
Woo!
So you
the parrot. That's what I'm going for.
Well, probably. Let's find out.
Let's find out together, shall we? Your first question, found from my observations while we were in the parks. What is the first Caribbean that you see in Pirates of the Animatronics?
What's the first Caribbean?
Yeah, he's just changing all the things.
Yeah.
Yes. What is the first animatronic that you see in the Pirates of the Caribbean? Both of you answered the parrot that can be seen while you're in the queue, and or it would also be the very last thing that you see while you're coming around in the boats. The correct answer that I was looking for was the lightning bugs while you're in the marsh. No, I'm kidding. The parrot that can be seen while you are in the queue.
I would have challenged you, Vern, to tell me how they fit 1960s technology into a little pin light.
I was actually, Teresa could tell you this, while we were on the boat.
Like fascinated by the
lightning bugs. I was fascinated by the lightning bugs because I was hoping that if I stared hard enough, maybe I would be able to see that they were actually like the strings were connected to strings, that there was then like an arm behind the scenes that was moving back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, something like that.
He thought it was a little more complicated than just air movement.
It is. They like twitch. I don't know why you're looking at me.
He thought that there was like things pulling the whole thing.
Oh. They're also, Vern, believe it or not, which makes me sad about Pirates of the Caribbean, there also used to be like a lot more.
A lot more lightning bugs?
Yes. They were like all over the place.
Well, that is sad.
Yeah. That's right.
Wow. All right, then. So, congratulations.
Hashtag bring back the lightning bugs.
Yes.
Oh, is that my thing?
Yeah. Save bring back the lightning bugs.
Bring back the lightning bugs. Yep.
Nice. So, both of you getting that one correct with the parrot.
Woo! Your okay, second it's all regular... downhill from here.
It is all downhill.
Your second regular round question from listener Donna S. What year did the coat of arms crest go up on Sleeping Beauty's castle? Tag said 1957, and Teresa said 1955. The correct answer that I was looking for. Walt added the crest to the castle in 1965 as a 10th anniversary edition.
You know what? After I wrote 50, I was joking because I said 55, you said 57, right? So in between our two answers, I'm like, watch, it's 56. So as I just wrote that down, I'm like, I bet you it's 65. I don't know why as I was writing 56. I was like, 65. Dyslexia.
That's why. Dyslexia.
Yeah, but it was dyscalculia, right.
Actually.
Huh?
Dyscalculia.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Yeah. Lexia comes from lexical for letters, and calculia is numbers. Oh, calculus.
All right.
Well, we've learned yet another thing during
Trivia
Land.
We need the
today.
Answer to the next one because we were totally stumped.
Yes, that was actually your answer.
Lee in our chat needs to know if he was correct.
So your third regular round question from listener Andy M. Bing Crosby famously narrated the Ichabod section from Ichabod and Mr. Toad. What famous, quote, detective, end quote, narrated the Mr. Toad segment? Both of you answering, I'm stumped. The correct answer that I was looking for, and kudos to listener Lee for this one, Basil Rathbone, famous for playing Sherlock Holmes in 14 separate films.
You did say Sherlock Holmes.
I get like a quarter of a credit for saying he probably played Sherlock Holmes.
Sure, yes.
Like an eighth of a credit.
Too bad that's not an option.
And your fourth and final regular round question from listener Sarah M. What is the smallest Pepper's ghost effect in all of Disneyland Resort, and where is it? Tag said, somewhere on Tom Sawyer Island. And Teresa said, the rather large Pooh Bear that floats around in the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Rather large Pooh Bear. I did not say it was rather large. Thank you.
No, that was my own commentary. The correct answer that I was looking for is in Sleeping Beauty Castle walkthrough, Flora, Fauna, and Meriwether floating over Aurora's crib.
Oh, that's a good one. I always forget about the castle walkthrough.
I was just going to say, we need to go through the castle walkthrough on our next trip because it's been many, 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 many trips since we have walked through. And it's so good. It's such a little hidden gem, but obviously very easily overlooked.
Has it been that many?
I don't think we've been through it since 2019. I really don't, which is sad. Shame on us. Fake fans.
I wouldn't go that far, but yes.
No, I think we went through in 2022.
Did we? Maybe. Anyway.
I feel like I walked through with Greg.
Oh, okay, you're right. But Tag and I have not gone through together. But yeah, nope, you're right. I'm pretty sure when we were out for the wedding, we took our friend Greg, who had never been to Disneyland ever before.
Who's now obsessed.
He loves it. Yes, he absolutely loves it.
You know, every friend that you've brought, your photographer duo.
I know.
Greg.
It's a talent.
They're obsessed with it.
They just get hooked because it's so fun.
But the real question is, do they listen to our podcast?
No, but it's okay because they know us personally, so they just get to be around this energy all the time.
As I'm sure our husbands can attest to, right?
Yes. Yes.
Vern, how many hats have you worn tonight?
Are you just trying to go through all of them or what?
I'm just put on my seventh.
I will say, James, somebody said at the beginning of the discussion topic that you needed a hat, but it was too late.
Missed opportunity.
All right. Missed opportunity.
Anyway.
I'm just going to hold my zero streak.
Oh, okay. All right.
Hey,
and your bonus question tonight from listener Katie F. In Snow White's Enchanted Wish, there is a cuckoo clock in the dwarves' cottage, but it does not have a bird. What does it have? Tag said a chipmunk. Teresa said a squirrel or a chipmunk.
A critter.
The correct answer that I was looking for was a critter, but it was a frog.
Oh. I'm going to have to pay much closer attention to this because that's not even ringing a bell right now.
Well, of course not. It's a cuckoo clock. It doesn't ring bells.
You know what I mean.
My goodness.
That was a really good question. Lots of great questions this week.
That's because we have the best listeners in all of the podcastiverse.
I will agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, listeners, how do you think they did? How did you do listening at home? Do you think you have that perfect question that's going to really stump them next time? If you've got that perfect question, please feel free to send that in to us at dlweekly.net/trivia.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the park.
A special thank you to Sidell for editing the podcast.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us, and we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
Today's top story, the flavor merger of the century between the Peanut Butter Group and Chocolaty Corp. Joining me is a PBC executive.
Thanks for having me, Barry.
Now, how did you know the merger and the byproduct of it, Jif peanut butter and chocolate flavored spread, would be a success?
You know, it was a gut feeling, a rumbling, if you will. Besides, they're two titans of taste.
Very true. Goes great with pretzels.
And pancakes.
Apples too, I bet. Try Jif PBC today.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.